If you have your Bibles, your iPads, cell phones, go with me to the book of John, chapter 5. The book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Again, we're going to be reading John's account from the New King James Version. And we're going to pick it up in verse 1, and we'll read the first 9 verses. John chapter 5, verse 1. John writes, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which in Hebrew is called Bethesda. Bethesda had 5 porches. In these porches at Bethesda lay a great multitude of sick people, blind people, lame people, paralyzed people, all waiting for the moving of water. For an angel would come down at a certain time into the pool and would stir up the water. Then whoever stepped into the water first, after the stirring of the water, would be made well of whatever disease that they had. Now there was at Bethesda a man who had been sick for 38 years. That's a long time to be sick. 38 years. But verse 6 says, "But when Jesus saw him," he's been there a long time, "but Jesus saw him lying there and knew that the man had already been in that condition." He's been sick for 38 years. Jesus asked him what seems to be on the surface a very rude question. Jesus is going to ask him a question that seems to lack empathy. Jesus asked this man, "Do you really want to be made well? Do you want to be made well?" I love the sick man's response. The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm trying to get in the pool, another person steps down into it before me." Verse 8, Jesus said to the man, "Rise. I need you to get up, take up your bed, take up your mat, and walk." And immediately after that instruction, the man was made well, took up his bed, and he walked. I want to talk to you for the 32 minutes and 10 seconds that I have this morning from this title, Breaking Out of Stuck. Breaking Out of Stuck. If you have not ever been stuck in your life, keep living. Because at all points in our lives, all of us experience moments where we feel stuck. Some of us at times may feel stuck spiritually, may feel like we're hitting a spiritual plateau. Others of us may feel stuck in our soul. We're stuck in emotions, stuck in feelings. Others of us may be stuck in physical conditions, conditions in our body. Others are stuck in their relationships. People get stuck in their marriages. People get stuck in their dating relationships, their family relationships, and other people get stuck financially. But all of us in life experience moments where we feel stuck, and it is not the will of God that we remain stuck. So we're going to talk about breaking out of stuck. Now, John, the writer John, the biblical writer John, begins his account of this encounter with Jesus by introducing us to a Jerusalem pool. He gives us the name of the pool. The pool is called Bethesda, and Bethesda translates to mean house of mercy. House of mercy. And Jerusalem was and is surrounded by a wall. So in order to get in and out of the city, you would have to get into the city through gates in the wall. And John identifies which gate the pool is at. He says, "We're at the sheep gate." And if we were to enter into the sheep gate, we would have run into this pool called Bethesda. Now, some archaeologists believe that it wasn't one pool, that it was two pools that were adjacent, but we got a pool of water. But Bethesda is not a spa-like experience. Bethesda's not one of those pools. It's not a high-end pool at a fancy high-end fitness club. If we were to go through the sheep gate and look at Bethesda, Bethesda would have sounded and looked more like an emergency room. John tells us that there were a multitude of people who were gathered here, and Bethesda, as a pool, as a gathering place, Bethesda has a couple of problems. Bethesda has a couple of problems. Well, Michael, okay, what are the problems in Bethesda? Right there in the text, we see that it's hundreds, it's a multitude of people from all over. This was the Feast of the Jews, so this would have been a time where the Jewish people, more Jewish people would have been gathering into the city than normal. So it's people everywhere, and you got blind people, lame people, paralyzed people who are hollering out in pain, crying out because of their sickness, and they're at this pool waiting. The people are at the pool of Bethesda waiting. Now I want to jump off of the pages of scripture, and I want to fast forward now into 2018, and I want to talk about you. Are there any Bethesdas in your life? Are there any places in your life where you are stuck waiting for God to come down? John says that the people were waiting for an angel to come down. Are there any Bethesdas in your life? Are there places where you're waiting on God, where you're stuck and can't move forward? The scripture tells us that not only was the multitude waiting, they were waiting on an angel that only came in seasons. That's a problem. That's a big problem for us if we're at Bethesda, because we got hundreds of people here, but only one of us are getting healed in a season. Now, some people in this time would have journeyed to Bethesda on purpose. I've heard about if I can get to Bethesda, I can get healed, if I can get a water. So some people would have come to this pool intentionally. Other people might have been at Bethesda or found themselves at the pool, and they didn't come voluntarily. Their families dropped them off. We've spent a lot of money on doctors. We've taken it as far as we can. In the natural, there is no solution. So we'll drop you off in the morning. Pray that something happens. Pray that this be your lucky day, and we'll pick you up in the evening if you don't get healed. This pool is a problem because people, the water is only stirring seasonally. Now this pool, Bethesda, is not wheelchair compliant. It's not ADA compliant. And if you don't get into this pool at the right time, in the right moment, you're gonna have to wait days and weeks, for some people years, to have another shot. Now, if I'm sick, and I've been waiting, and Jerusalem is hot, I've been to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is hot and dusty. If I've been waiting for months, if I have any inclination that that water looks like it's about to move, and I know that you're gonna be racing to try to get into the water too, it's gonna be on. It's gonna be on and popping. And so another problem with Bethesda isn't as obvious to see. It sits beneath the surface. Bethesda has a problem with its culture. You say, well, Michael, okay, how do you know that Bethesda has a problem with its culture? If only one person is getting healed every season, that person who gets healed, they're happy. The rest of us, we're feeling some kind of way. I'm not happy for you. I'm not excited for you. I ain't shouting for you. Now I gotta wait. So when that water would start moving, think about Black Friday. But you know when the doors are going to open. They advertise it in the paper. Think about Black Friday. But think about, you have no clue when this water is going to start moving. So when that water gets to moving, grandma get out the way, cousin family get out the way. The culture of Bethesda is survival of the fittest. It's dog eat dog. It's I win, you lose, or you win, and I lose. So Bethesda would have been full of gossip. Bethesda would have been full of jealousy. Also, whenever you become sick, especially if you spend any time around people who are sick for a prolonged period of time, sickness has a way of interjecting itself into your vocabulary. If you're sick for a long time, you tend to, if you're not very intentional, you'll tend to talk about it a lot. And if you've been sick for a long time, a lot of other people will talk to you about it. How are you doing? You getting any better? Have you improved since the last time that I saw you? Over a period of time, if we stay sick, if we stay stuck long enough, that's gonna get old. Quit asking me how I'm doing. I know you mean well, but I'm tired of you asking me that, because if I'm blind, but you're paralyzed, you don't feel what I feel. You don't really understand me, because you can't see. Me, I can't see, but you can. And so over a period of time at Bethesda, you would have started to see the culture organize where us blind folk, we're going to get our porch. Because when my blind friend tells me that they stumped their toe last week trying to get into the pool, I'm going to be thinking, man, I feel you. I stumped mine about 2 or 3 weeks ago trying to get in the pool. The paralyzed people would have gathered together. Man, my back is hurting, man. I've been laying on this mat for a long time. And other paralyzed people would have known exactly what that felt like. Not only would there been a problem with the culture as it relates to envy and jealousy and strife, there was no irrigation of thought. What do I mean by that? There was no irrigation of thought. You got the blind spending every day with the blind, spending no time with healthy people. And if I want to know something about the condition of where you are or about where your future is projected, I have to do nothing but look at your contact list in your phone and look at who are you constantly talking to? Who are you constantly hearing in your ear? Because as we begin to associate with people, whether it's intentional or not, and we begin to talk to them, it's possible for what's in them to get in us. It's possible for you to be offended. I'm cool, but I keep talking to you. Keep talking to you, and now we're both offended. So there is no irrigation of thought. Sometimes to get unstuck, we have to introduce ourselves to new environments. Sometimes to get unstuck, we have to introduce ourselves to new circles. For some of us, we're stuck because our circle is too small. So it's at this pool, with this culture, that John goes further and introduces us to a gentleman who has been stuck for so long, he loses his identity in the stuckness. This man had a name, but, man, I've been struggling so long, it feels like I am the struggle. I've been trying to raise kids on my own that it feels like it's all consuming. I've been trying to get past unforgiveness and bitterness, but it feels like it's consuming. This man had been sick for so long that the writer identifies him as the man at Bethesda. Now, fortunately for him, this day in which we're reading the text is going to be different because Jesus shows up on this day. And I want to let you know that no matter where you're stuck in your life, no matter how long you've been stuck, just one word from God can turn around 38 years of infirmity. I don't know how long you've been dealing with depression. I don't know how long you've been dealing with self-doubt. I don't know how long you've been dealing with an addiction, but just one word from God can turn around decades of stuff. So Jesus comes down to Bethesda to the sheep gate. The shepherd comes down to the sheep gate. Living water comes down to water that isn't moving. And the problem with this water only moving seasonally is if every season, we don't know how often it was, but if every season, if this water is only moving every season, then this water is still during the other times. The water is stuck. And the problem with the water remaining still is this is not an irrigated pool. There is no chlorine. So if you get into the water and you're healed, I'm splashing all in it if I got in after you, and I'm bringing all my germs, I'm bringing all my sweat, I'm bringing all my disease into this water. You would not have wanted to take in your Yeti down to the pool of Bethesda to get a sip. This is not that kind of water. And the paradox of Bethesda, the paradox of this pool, is that still water can actually attract things that don't promote life. That if water can sit too long, too still, it can begin to attract some things that don't promote life. Stuck is not neutral. God does not want you to be stuck in your relationships. He doesn't want you to be stuck in your finances. He doesn't want you to be stuck in your marriage and your emotions, because stuck is not neutral. Satan wanted these people to feel that, okay, it's cool to be stuck, but stuck always attracts things that don't promote health and life. You show me a marriage that is stuck for too long, day in and day out, week in and week out, they're stuck, it'll begin to attract resentment. It can begin to attract bitterness. You take a church that stays stuck, it can begin to attract things that don't promote the life of that church. So Jesus shows up at the pool of Bethesda, and the answer asks this man a question. And on the surface, it seems to be a very silly question. Jesus asked this man, do you want to be made well? Now, when I read this text, this question seems very silly to me, because we have porches and porches full of people. If I didn't want to be well, Jesus, I wouldn't even be at the pool. What kind of silly question is that? It's like I was getting on to my three-year-old last night, and she was doing something, and I looked at her and I said, well, hey, do you want a spanking? That's a silly question. That's a silly question as a parent to ask. She said, no, Dad, I don't want a spanking. Maybe your parents have asked you that question growing up. Not once, not a single time have I ever asked Megan that question, and she said, yeah, Daddy, give me a good spanking. Not once has she ever said, oh, yeah, take me in the bedroom and give me a good behind whooping. No, that's a silly question. And so Jesus asked the man what appears to be a silly question, do you want to be made well? But Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, understood that the beginning of getting unstuck is desire. That if God is going to move you or break you out of stuck, it has to begin from a foundation of desire. Jesus, in his wisdom, understood that whatever you and I tolerate in our life has our permission to continue. And so Jesus wanted to assess, man, you've been sick for so long. I have to begin to get some visibility into whether or not only are you at Bethesda, I got to get some visibility to understand, has Bethesda gotten in you? And it's possible for me to be stuck. It's possible for you to be stuck for so long that you learn to function with dysfunction. It's possible to be stuck for so long that you just give up the wheel to try to fix it. You give up the wheel to try to move forward. And so you begin to cope. I think another reason that Jesus asked the man, "Do you want to be made well?" was Jesus understood that not everyone who came to the pool really had a desire to leave different. You had plenty of people coming to the pool of Bethesda with the hope of changing. You had people day in and day out who are gathering here at this place. But I believe that Jesus asked the man this question because he understood that it's possible to come to the pool not wanting change. Some Christians want God to change their conditions, their situations, their problems, but they don't want him to change them. God, I want you to change my financial situation, but God, you can't touch my cell phone bill. I need my unlimited minutes. I need my streaming TV. God, I want you to bless me. I want you to use me. God, I really want to understand your will for my life. But God, don't change my resentment. Don't change my unforgiveness. I'm not ready to let go of that yet, but I want to change. Jesus understood that although it's 2018, and our pools have become more swanky. We've now got bright lights at our pool. We got microphones and monitors at our pool. But Jesus understood that it's possible to dress up every Sunday, to come to the pool, to come to the place of healing, to come to the place of deliverance, the place of prosperity, the place of freedom, and walk out just as stuck. As I walked in, Jesus knew that it's possible to be stuck at the pool and never move forward because I've gotten comfortable. And so God, please get me unstuck. God, please move me forward. But God, don't make me get off my mat. Matter of fact, God, if you could give me a little cable TV, God, some nachos, kind of parched, it's hot out here. God, can you give me a soda? But I don't want to leave this mat. Now, to understand again, and we'll move on, to understand Jesus' question, do you want to be made well? We have to understand a detail in the text that John tells us. He tells us that Bethesda has five porches. The five porches are key. The five porches would have been added to the pool to provide shade. So while we're waiting on this water to move, if I'm gonna stay stuck and it's hot, might as well stay stuck, but be comfortable. And Jesus understood that sometimes the hardest person to change is the person who don't want to. My grace is sufficient to heal you. I'm full of power, but I have to know, are you willing to change to get what you see? The man didn't have a vision problem. He could see better. He could see the pool, but he's stuck. And so Jesus begins to ask the man, do you want to be made well? And I love the guy's response. He says, well, Jesus, you know, I do want to get better. That's why I'm coming to the pool every day. But, you know, those people, those folk, you know, God, I want to progress into my destiny, but God, my boss. God, I would like to step into your complete plan for me, but my dad, my mom. God, I would like to get unstuck, but it's those people. I don't have a man. I don't have the right connections. God, I don't have the degree. God, I don't have the right contacts. Jesus didn't even respond to the guy. Like, he didn't even respond to that foolishness, because Jesus wanted to get the guy's focus off of the pool and onto him. So I'll close out. Jesus gave the guy three calls to action. I believe there's some wisdom that we can draw from those calls to action. The first call to action that Jesus tells the man is, I got to get you to get up. You've been laying on this mat too long. You've been stuck in the same place for too long. I need for you to get up. Why did Jesus tell the man to get up? I think for a few reasons. One reason is Jesus wanted to elevate his perspective. Because sometimes to break out of stuck, God has to elevate our perspective. People perish for lack of vision. The man had been down on the mat for so long that his perspective of Bethesda was from down on the ground. Jesus said, I need for you, if you're going to receive what I have, if you're going to break out of stuck, I got to get you standing up, because I got to get you to see your problem from a different perspective, from a higher perspective, because my thoughts are not your thoughts, they're higher. My ways, my behaviors, they're not your ways, they're not your behaviors, they're higher. So I have to begin to elevate your perspective. Practically, Michael, okay, I hear what you're saying, that's cute, that's a good sound bite. What does that look like? What does it look like? What does that mean to look at my problem, to look at my Bethesda from a fresh perspective? Some Christians, their perspective of their Bethesda, the place that they're stuck, it looks like this. Some people's perspective of where they're stuck, it looks like this. At the center of their lives is the problem. At the center of their lives is the pool. And God, I just don't see how I can move past this problem. This problem looks really big. I'm stuck. God, you have no clue how long I've been stuck. Now, if you notice small on the paper in the corner, it says Jesus Christ. So I'm saved. I got God on the paper. He's in my life. But when I look at him compared to my problem, man, I got to get to that pool, Jesus, because that pool is where my breakthrough is. Jesus needed to shift the guy's perspective to something closer to this. The problem is still on the page. Becoming a Christian doesn't take all of our problems away. But Jesus says that I need your focus. If you're going to move beyond where you are, and he's saying the same thing to you today, if I'm going to move you from beyond where you are, I have to begin to raise your perspective to look more like this. because everything that the man needed was found in Jesus standing in front of him. So what's your perspective? You don't have to tell me. But God knows, and more importantly, God cares. God sees it. The scripture says that Jesus saw the man and knew that he had been there for a long time. Well, how would Jesus know that the guy had been sick for 38 years and Jesus was crucified at 33? In this text, he hadn't been crucified, so we're at early 30s. We're at 30, 31. How would Jesus have known how long this guy had been sick? If this guy's much older than him, he knew by the Spirit of God. And I don't have visibility into your Bethesdas. I don't have visibility into your lives, but I don't need to. God does. And the Spirit of God does. And here's what Hebrews chapter 4 reminds us. It says that we don't have a high priest who's out of touch. That Jesus is not, he doesn't lack empathy. He knows what you're going through. He's been through it. Satan will try to make you think that you're isolated. Yeah. Satan would have wanted this guy to think, man, I'm the only person who can't get in this pool. It's thousands of folk who can't get in the pool, but Satan will have you thinking that you're the only one. Because if he can isolate you, then he can begin to attack you. Hebrews 4 says that we don't have a high priest who doesn't see. We have one that sees. He knows. He's empathetic. But I love verse 16. It says that we're to come boldly to his throne, and we are to ask for grace to help us in a time of need. So whatever your Bethesda is, and I don't care how long you've been stuck in it, I don't care how highly organized, Bethesda was organized to keep people coming back. The system wasn't set up for everybody to win, but there was grace to get this one man out of a system that was rigged to hold him down. And I'm telling you that there's grace. I don't care who's against you. I don't care what kind of authority they have. If God be for you, who can be against you? But we have to see the problem from the right perspective. So again, how do I do that? Here's a confession that if you feel stuck in an area, I want you to begin today to say every day, and you say, well, how long do I need to say it? You say it as long as it takes for you to take up that mat and walk away from that Bethesda. Say this after me. Say, I am in Christ, and he is more than enough. Let's say that again. I am in Christ, and he is more than enough. Let's say it again. Get some practice in. I am in Christ, and he is more than enough. It doesn't matter what inadequacies you feel that you have. It doesn't matter whatever shortcomings you feel. If you don't feel equipped for the situation, if you don't, man, I've tried to get in that pool. I've tried to break free from this. I've tried to move on. Your sufficiency is not found in yourself. Your sufficiency is found in Christ. I am in Christ, and he is more than enough. Jesus told the guy, I need you to get up. And there was some risk involved with that. To get unstuck, you're gonna have to take some risks. It was risky for this man to try to get up when he had been down for so long. We know how the story turns out. We know he's gonna get up and walk. He didn't have that visibility. So he had to take a risk to act out in faith, and it's gonna take some risks for you to move out of stuff. It's risky when you've offended me. It can feel risky if you've offended me to forgive you and turn you over to God. Because I may feel like, man, God, what if you let him off the hook? I can get a lot more justice myself. That can feel risky to forgive. It can feel very risky when God says, hey, cast that situation on me. It can feel a lot less risky for me to hold it. Because sometimes it can feel like God doesn't see it. He doesn't care. It's not as urgent on his agenda as it is on mine, and so it can feel very risky to move on. But if you're going to break out of stuff, you're going to have to take some risks. Jesus told the guy, take up your bed. So that spoke to personal responsibility. But then lastly, Jesus told the man, I need you to walk. And implied in walking was, I need you to walk away from Bethesda. For some of you to break out of stuck, you're going to have to not only walk out of your comfort zone, you're going to have to walk out of what's familiar. You're going to have to walk out of environments that's familiar to you. To fulfill the complete plan of God on your life, you're not always going to be walking into areas that you've experienced before or that you're familiar with. God has a way of taking you beyond your comfort zone and getting you out to places where you have to depend on him. Jesus says, I need for you, man, to walk away from these associations. I know your buddies at Bethesda. I know your clique is there. And the man could have said, well, Jesus, can I at least visit them on the weekends? Jesus, can I come back every first weekend? Jesus didn't give him an out. He said, I need for you to walk away from what's familiar, and for some of you to walk into the full destiny of what God has placed on your life, you're going to have to walk away from your history. There are going to be some people who are in your life right now. You love them. As Christians, we're not called to judge. As Christians, we're not called to throw people away. You love them. God's purpose on our lives doesn't give us a right to not walk in love. But there are going to be some people who can't go with you all of the way. God told Abraham, hey, I'm trying to get you into a promised land. But to get to that promised land, you got to leave mama them. You got to leave cousin them. And so for some of us, we're going to have to walk away from not only what's familiar, but walk away from who's familiar. But all of this was a choice. The man had to choose to do this. Jesus told him, rise up. The man could have chosen to stay down. Jesus told the guy, I need for you to pick up your mat because I want the picture of your victory, man at Bethesda, to look like this. I want you walking out of Bethesda carrying what was holding you down. I don't want any longer you to be bound by it. As you began to leave this place, as you began to go into the temple, into the city, as you began to engage life, I want people to see a testimony of where I brought you from. I was thinking, well, Jesus, why did you ask the guy to get to take the mat? Sometimes our deliverance is not just for us. Sometimes God wants to use our lives to speak to others who are also bound. But the guy had to make a choice, and the guy had to choose to walk into what was unknown. And that could have been very scary for him. I have to leave what's familiar, and I got to go out into this city where I've lost associations. I got to go out into Jerusalem, and man, I got to find a job. I don't know how to put a resume together. I don't know who's hiring. But the scripture says that we walk by faith. The guy couldn't see every step that he was going to have to take, but he had to take the first step by faith. And for you to walk into what God wants you to walk in, you're going to have to walk and take those steps by faith, not seeing all of it at front, but knowing that the same God who healed this man at Bethesda is down on the inside of you, and he is more than enough.